Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and for the opportunity to hear you through your word speak to our hearts. Meet us where we are and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. Encourage us through the word. Reveal your principles that we might practice them and profit from them. And dear God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, this is a very familiar scripture, or passage of scripture, I shall say, but not really sure that we all understand what James intended for us to get out of it. And so, each time we go through these scriptures, hopefully we'll let down a little deeper into God's divine well of truth. And so having had the experience of having heard the word before, hearing it now and with fresh revelation should encourage the believer no matter what he or she may be going through. One of the things that I love about James is he starts off in verse 1 making clear his convictions and his connections. For he says, James, a servant of the Lord, of the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing he wants to make clear is that his connection is with the sovereign God and the Savior, his Son. He wants to make sure that folk understand, and he's talking to the believers, whose side he's on. And I think if anything else is important this day, it ought to be clear by all who know you and who are around you whose side you're on. You see, that says a lot for you. That speaks volumes for you when you can make clear, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Because just admitting, just being convicted of the fact that you're on the Lord's side puts you in a unique place, both in the world and out of the world. Making that declaration sets a standard that you must live and operate on. Saying I'm a child of God means I acquiesce and I yield myself to the blessings and benefits of God's word, his will, and his way. And so James makes clear from the onset that he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, verse 2, my brethren. Now again, this is not for the people in the world. This is not for the people of the world who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and God as their Father. This is for the believer, for the family of faith, for the people who are born again, baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is for you. Now, here, if you understand that what is for you is for you, then you'll be able to grasp the reality of what James is trying to get a hold to our thinking and consciousness. He says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, that sounds good when you count money. But does it really sound good when you're talking about trials and tribulations? Come on, be real with me for a minute now. No, it doesn't really sound good to the natural man. Count it all joy. That sounds like a religious, a super spiritual saying. And it is. It is. It is for us to understand that we must rise above the flesh and operate in the spirit. It is to help us understand that the reality of what God has allowed and permitted us to go through is actually for our benefit. And while it might not feel good, while it might not look good, while it might not be good, while we're going through the process, in the end, it's going to end up for our good. And so when he starts off with the word count, count is significant because it means to add value or weight to something. And so everything that you go through, he's saying you ought to add value or weight to it in the understanding that the working of all of this stuff is going to make it better for you. Count it all, not some. And most of us count it joy when we do what? No. We count it joy when we are coming through something, or when we even finish something, or when we've made it through something. And we can breathe a sigh of relief like, man, I'm glad that's over. But that's not the only time that James suggests that we ought to count it joy. He says, count it all. Now, right here, I want to throw in, just so that you'll understand what he's talking about, to help us in the rest of the scriptures that follow, and they'll back this up, is you count it all joy when you're entering in, while you're experiencing it, and when you exit out of your trials, tribulations. Matter of fact, James says divers temptations. Now, divers means, of course, different and various. It means a multitude of. It means very unlikely state or status. And so what he's really saying is, it's a mixture of what life throws at you. It doesn't always happen in one area or one arena or down one avenue. Sometimes Satan can hit you with, just an influx of different things happening. And you get to the point where you're like, if one more thing happens, if one more thing comes up today, I'm going to not shout the victory. I'm going to lose my mind. Oh, that's what we wind up saying, things like that, because it's diverse, it's different, it's multitudinous, it's various. And so when you begin to put the fact that they're different things, and then it's a whole lot of different things, it'd be all right if it was one or two different things. But sometimes so many things hit you at one time, and they're in so many different areas, man, that it makes you want to shout. Pull your hand out. Well, I ain't got that to do, but you know. It just gives you a different perspective on, man, how can I go through all of this, deal with all of this, and come through with the victory? So one of the things that James makes clear to us is that we are to count it all joy when we, this next word is interesting because it says fall. When we fall into diverse temptation. Fall. Now, fall, one would think that it literally means to fall down. But that's not what fall means here. Fall means very simply to be encompassed. It means to surround you. In other words, it's an experience that you couldn't get out of if you wanted to. It's like light. When light shines on you, it surrounds you. It encompasses you. So, excuse me. So what's important to understand about this is when you fall into diverse temptations, it means that you didn't even have a choice. It's like somebody say, I didn't go looking for trouble. Trouble found me. So I had to deal with it. And so when you deal with it like that and from that perspective, what you realize is that this situation that you are dealt with did not come as a result of you walking in the wrong places, or you saying the wrong things, or you being with the wrong people. No, this didn't have anything to do with you doing wrong, or you being bad, or you making wrong decisions. It just had to do with who you were as a child of God. And the devil, knowing who you are, will try you. And when he will try you, God will permit him to try you with limitations. Because one of the things that the devil has to realize is that you are who God says you are. And how can that be proven except you be tried? And see, a whole lot of us don't understand that when we are tried, it always puts us in position for promotion. You see, you can know this right here off the top of your brain. If you are not being tried, you are not being set up for promotion. If you're not going through anything, if you're not dealing with anything, if you're not suffering with anything, if life is just peachy and creamy for you, you're not being positioned for a promotion. So here, somebody who is going through some stuff right now ought to be shouting, if they ain't shouting for nobody around nobody but themselves, look, Lord Jesus, I knew this wasn't for nothing. God is positioning you. Have you considered? He told Satan, my servant, and whoever you are as a child of God, a servant of God, God says to Satan about you, have you considered my servant, and whatever your name is, you insert your name there. Now, when God brags on you, he brags on you because he knows you. And then when he permits the devil to try you, it's always with limitations, and the limitations are never more than you can bear. So that's another reason why you ought to count it joy going in. All joy. Don't put your joy off till the end. You lose the value of the fullness of joy when you delay your joy to shout when it's over. David gives us a great example of entering Psalm 23 and 4. Yay! Though I walk through, he says, listen, I'm not going to share my yay at the end of this thing. I'm going to share it at the beginning of this thing. So you got to understand that if you count it all joy, then the reality is you start shouting when you know you're going through. Because one of the things that I think, again, is helpful to the believers to understand this, if your focus is not on going through, but rather going to, then your joy is connected to the fact that you win. Now listen, whatever you got to go through to win is immaterial. You connect your joy to the fact that I'm a winner. And a winner, listen at this, has to prepare to win. And a winner has to prepare and perform to win. And a winner must prepare and perform and be patient to win. And so when the end comes, the winner isn't excited that he or she is a winner, because that's what they've been preparing for. That's what they were performing for. And that's what they were patient to until the end was over, but they knew they were a winner at the beginning. So you get joy knowing I'm gonna win this thing. I've got to do my part. I've got to prepare myself. I've got to get myself together because I have a part to play. And see, that's where Christians miss it so many times. At is when they think that God's got to do it all. No. God's going to do his part. That's the impossible. But God's going to leave the possible for you to do. Listen, count it all joy when ye fall, when you are surrounded, when you are encompassed with a trial or a tribulation. Now the word temptation here means experiment, it means trial, it means attempts. And it's not the same temptation as in moral sin and that kind of thing, any kind of devious stuff. No, this is more to do with trials, with attempts, or with experiments. So later James explained that God can be tempted with evil and with, you know, any of those things of the world like that. So this is not the same kind of temptation. This is a trial for the believer. This is an experiment for the believer. These are attempts to prove you right when Satan wants to prove you wrong. And so, understanding that, when you fall or are surrounded with a test, listen, know that God has something to do with it. Amen. You didn't go looking for it. It came to you. It found you. When you knew anything, it was going on. It happened. It didn't ask your permission. So since it didn't, now you become a willing participant to prove God right and Satan wrong. See, once God brags on you, he has made an investment first. And now he wants you to make clear to the enemy that his investment was right. Did you hear what I just said? I said, he's made an investment in you. Well, what was the investment? He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to save you, to make you a part of the royal family, to put you in right standing with God, to make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't tell me that's a significant investment, tell me what is. He gave up what he knew for sure to be his own and his righteousness, to save you, to reach out to you. He gave up what he knew he had that was perfect and pure in the hopes and desire that you would receive the invitation and come to him and be made one with him. And so in that significant investment in you, he has to try you because the enemy is saying you are not what God says you are. You will not complete the journey. You will not do what God said you do. You will not fulfill the purpose of your life. And so that's interesting. But here, James says, if you keep your focus on the joy, don't worry about the stresses and the stressors. Don't worry about the situations and the circumstances. Keep your focus on the joy. When you get ready to go in, keep your focus on the joy. But then while you're in it, being in the experiment, being in the trial, going through the trouble, dealing with the issues, he says, keep your mind on Romans 8:28, and we know. that all things work together for good, for them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. That's why you're going through it. That's why you're in the midst of the experiment. That's why you're dealing, that's when you're dealing with all of the stuff that you didn't ask to deal with. But it was placed upon you to prove that you can handle and carry and deal with everything God permitted to come before your way. And then your joy is at the beginning. Your joy is while you're going through. And I'm going to throw this out parenthetically. That if your joy is at the beginning, you've already disappointed Satan. Because he wanted you to break down and break up and act a fool and just lose your mind at the beginning. Lord, I'm going through. I'm getting ready to go through. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. No, I don't know how I'm going to handle it, but I know how God in his power is going to handle it. He's going to do it like he's always done it. Now, when you get that attitude, it's not hard to maintain it while you're going through, because now you're closer to coming out once you've started. And so while you're going through it, maintain the focus on the joy. Here is the joy. This too shall pass. I know all this is working out for my good. So while I'm going through this thing, I don't focus on the bad. I don't focus on the sorrow. I don't focus on the mishaps. I don't focus on those who hate and hate on me. I don't focus on all of that mess. I focus on the joy of knowing that God is doing something far bigger and grander than I could ever know in totality until I am finished with it. But I know it's for my good. And then I'm still going through this thing, but I've got joy at the end of this thing. But because Paul teaches that in the Word of God, that all that I'm going through is common to man. These temptations are common to man. And listen, in the same temptation, he will make a way of escape. I don't have to wait till I get out of it to ask God to get me out of it. While I'm in it, God is making a way for me to get out of it. The fact that I'm focusing in on the joy that God has given to me, knowing that I am a son, a daughter of God, that I am a child of God, knowing that I am a servant of God, knowing that God has not put me in this battle to lose it, but to win it, then all of those things that I focus on, if I'm going to concentrate on anything, it's going to have to be the things that are enriching, that are rewarding, that are reminders that I'm not in this thing alone. And so when I realize this, I'm coming out of this thing. Now, I'm coming out of it with a mind toward being better, having more, being elevated. And so when I look at this, I've got to realize this is not for naught. I ain't went through all of this here for nothing. No. God, I may not understand it right now, but I know I've not gone through all of that for nothing. And God has a purpose, and God's going to show me that purpose. And while I may not understand it while I'm going through, or even when I'm coming out, later God will reveal that to me. But here's what I need to know. While I start, go through, and exit it, I'm supposed to count it all joy. Count it weighty and worthy of my going through because of what I'm going to. Now look at what it goes on to say. It says, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this. Tell somebody you ought to know this. He's talking to believers. You ought to know this. Knowing this, knowing it on a constant elevating level, it should become more and more of a reality to you every trial, every temptation, every situation, every downfall, every setback, everything that the enemy has put you through, every experiment, you ought to know more and more and more clearer and better that this thing is working for your good. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, well now here's what's important. I cannot be promoted or elevated without my faith being exercised. In other words, your muscles are not built and strengthened without you exercising them. It takes exercise, precision. It takes consistency and discipline. And when you continue to go through and do these things, you become stronger and more powerful. And so when you recognize that your faith must be exercised to continue to grow, continue to accomplish, to continue to attain, then it means you got to keep on going through stuff. Amen. You can remain a baby if you never go through nothing. You can remain an immature Christian if you never go through something. So the more you go through, especially with the stuff that has been set up as an experiment for you, a trial for you, attempts to recognize who you really are, then those things are going to give you the place and position to be promoted in the things of God. He says, knowing this, that the working of your faith worketh, the trying of your faith worketh patience, worketh, worketh. That means when your faith is being tried, patience is being worked. Now, patience is a member or team member of your faith. You see, one of the reasons why a whole lot of us have issues dealing with the things that God has given to us, things that God has promised to us, is even though we have faith, our patience is weak. And so if our patience is weak, then it has much to do with wondering if God is going to deliver what he promised us. Because we become filled with anxiousness. We become filled with the ability to not wait on God, to be discouraged, to be uncomfortable, to be unrested in the trials that we're going through because we don't understand it's not our timing, but God's timing. Now think about it. If you had to go through something and you had the power to limit how long you go through it, would it be half as long as you've been going through it? Come on, talk to me, saints. Be real with me. No, indeed, we'd have cut that off. Matter of fact, when it got started, click. I ain't going through this. No, sirree. No. But see, what happens is when we cut off the trying of our faith, we also cut off the working of our patience. See, because what happens is if we do not permit our faith to be tried, which means we go through the entire process, then that means something is going to go undone. When something goes undone, we try to fill it with things that God said nothing about us filling it with. Let me give you a good example of that. When God told Abraham and Sarah he was going to bless them with a child, and the promise didn't come to 25 years later, what did Abraham and Sarah do? They tried to help God. God didn't need no help. He wanted them to be patient in the promise. Patient in the promise. But they weren't patient in the promise, so they started trying to help God. And so, you know, Sarah did a noble and wonderful thing, which would not happen today. Sarah, you know, took her handmaiden servant, best that she had, and gave it to her husband and said, listen now, you know, God promised us a son, and so you're going to be the surrogate mother of our son, but that's all your job is, you know. I'm going to be the mother, but you're going to carry the child for it. God didn't ask her to do that. God didn't even suggest them to do that. But they got impatient. And see, when you get impatient, you start trying to do what you think works out best. You start trying to fix it the way your mind thinks it ought to go. You start doing and adding, trying to make it work out the way that you think it ought to work out. And so when you do that,